Where'd you go? You've been gone for a while. Drag your body on an endless smile. From the hill I saw the way things die, and I was choking back tears while I waved goodbye. I think that hell is a holy place. I lied awake with some dreams I've made. To live is lonely and it's noble to stay, but I can understand if you need to go away. Gonna love you forever, gonna be okay. Some music in an empty room, going deaf to your anthem's tune. I found the letter, if you're looking for proof, I'm gonna stay right here and I could wait for you. Yeah, I could stay and I could wait for a minute, watch you dangling and breaking your limits. You make some beauty and the world forgets it. Nothing makes me whole and I don't quite get it.
It is time for Talking Music on KVNF, your Mountain Grown Community Radio. I am your host, Taya J, joined today by singer-songwriter Nat Lefkoff, here to talk about his brand new album, There You Are, and his upcoming performances here on the Western Slope. Thanks so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoy. Nat, it's a pleasure to have you on our KVNF airwaves. Thank you so much for making time to chat with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, such a pleasure to have you. Will you tell our listeners where you are right now?
Yeah, right now I'm in Davis, California. It's outside of Sacramento, town I was born and raised in. Moved back here about 3 years ago to do music full-time, and yeah, love it.
Re-getting to know it as an adult, how has that been?
Yeah, the like being gone, getting grown, and coming home sort of thing. It's been awesome. It's like a town of 60 to 80,000, depending on if school's in session. There's a UC school here. I feel powerful in this town. I was actually doing an interview with someone else yesterday who we were just talking about what it's like to be like a big fish in a smaller town versus like a medium fish in a huge town. And it's nice to be able to like throw weight around and have insight and know a place and have watched it change throughout decades. And yeah, it's powerful.
Totally. I feel like especially as a musician, being able to be in a place, I mean, so much of being a musician, I think, is word of mouth. It's like getting people curious about you or interested in you or showing up to your shows because they're kind of, I don't know. To me, it feels like it's word of mouth. So to be playing in a town where you grew up, you have certain people, I imagine, who know you or have known you for a long time and are going to show up to see you play. And then that's going to open them up to what an incredible musician you are. And that's going to start a whole new chapter.
Right. And if 200 of those people each go to three of their friends and they're like, you should listen to this guy. Yeah, it's, I think grassroots, like word of mouth to me is like, that's a grassroots energy type thing. And those connections and resources last for a lot longer and are like more vibrant and stronger than how you might reach out to someone via like a poster or an Instagram ad. It's like longtime listeners, longtime supporters.
Yeah, totally. And not that all those other elements aren't unfortunately a part of it. Marketing yourself has certainly become a part of being a musician. How do you handle that? How does that feel to you?
I do everything by myself. I'm fully independent and pretty fierce about it. I want to, if I'm going to pay other people, it's going to be the folks that have like helped, like my producer and drummer and best friend who records all my music. He and his wife want to have a baby and he's doing music full time. And like, I want to make this successful so that I can like put money in his hands. That's like actually good. So I handle everything myself. I don't pay for marketing. I've never really paid for it. I spend a lot of time emailing and just Instagram messaging. And yeah, as far as shows, I just do it all on my website and on social media. And then I'll try to get people who in other areas, especially like I have a album release show coming up here in Davis on the 14th, and that's, it's sold out. It's a 200-person hall. And for that, I did a little bit more, like, just a little more peddling of, like, flyering around town and like, asking. I got on a local radio station here to talk about it. But as far as, like, when I go to other states, I mostly rely on the organizers there to get the word out. But I'll like, make posters for all my shows on Canva and send those out and try to get people to post them in their windows and things like that.
Well, that brings up an interesting point, thinking about having a 200-person show versus, I know you play a lot of house shows, you play a lot of smaller venues. What's that experience like, just the distinction between playing something that's, you know, a larger audience versus playing something that's maybe a little bit more intimate in someone's living room?
It's undeniably a pretty awesome feeling to be on a large stage in front of a large audience, especially when I mean, having a band that's like tight and locked in and high energy, making a room move is really cool. You feel like a wizard. Also, being solo in a situation like that and like having a hall of like 800 people go completely silent and listen to you, it's pretty electrifying. It feels like getting hit by lightning or something. Not that I have been, and hopefully never will be hit by lightning. But it's like being like struck, and you're kind of, I've gone into a mode where I feel like a conduit for something else that's flowing through me. But then there's like being in someone's house or like a living room or a small yard with just like 10 to 30 or 5 people. That's like, you know, it's all work. It's all being a songwriter and a performer. And it's a lot more intimate, and it's a more human feeling of just like, oh, I'm just a person that like does this. And it's the moment that everybody involved creates when it's smaller, and like, you know, people can like talk from the audience, and like, you can just like answer a question, and it just kind of dissolves the separation that happens when someone's on stage.
In the little that I've seen, just videos of you performing, it seems like you're a storyteller as much as you are a singer-songwriter. Do you think that's true? How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I think so. I like really try to, that kind of came from a place of being self-conscious about how sad my songs are. I write really just such sad music. They're like very emotional songs, but I like am a really happy, goofy person also at heart. So it's nice. I started talking more during my sets because I didn't want to come off as like, oh, I'm so emotional and sad. And yeah, I like to just start telling funny stories. I used to be a teacher, so used to getting up in front of 12-year-old kids, which are like the hardest audience to entertain. And I just like, yeah, would just kind of try to keep track of stuff that I think is interesting or funny. And then in between my sets, it's kind of a practice of just like letting it flow and just seeing what happens. And it's different every time. But yeah, I think I really enjoy talking during my sets. I think it like humanizes the experience more. Also helps to dissolve that, the illusion of distance.
Totally. Yeah. And it almost like neutralizes the formality of performing or the formality of the audience watching you perform to sort of have a little bit more, I don't know, engagement. I also think it kind of, it allows you to be more than one dimensional, right? Like, or it allows you to be more than what people think of as one dimensional, either someone who sings sad songs or someone who tells stories. You know, you get to be a full, well-rounded person in the complexity and the nuance that experience is.
Yeah, I think and by doing that, you invite everyone in the audience to relax and also be that while they're in the room. And then, you know, you're like facilitating an experience for everybody when you're up there performing. You're not just playing music. You're like I think about the experience that people are having in the audience. And we've all been to shows where like, you know, someone gets up and they're like in this flowy, beautiful dress, or, you know, some people like command a presence when they get on a stage. And that's awesome too, to be like in the light of. But I also really appreciate it when it's kind of like, welcome to my living room. Like, take a seat, crack a beer. Like, glad you're here. Let's, you know, we're doing this thing.
Sit by the fire and melt for a while. I don't wanna wash my body with the soap. It was personal. waking in sleep. It's on TV, it's in the way you speak to me, the way it seems to be. Everything passing, still in its orbit. Even the worms beneath your feet that you will worship. Everything trembling, how could we know it? Even the way over your wings that you will forfeit, that you must forfeit.
That's Worship from Nat Levkoff joining me today on Talkin' Music. Worship is off Nat's brand new album, There You Are. What do you think the role of music is in community?
Ooh, that's such a good question. I think art helps people feel. The art that I appreciate the most is aimed at helping people feel. And when a community can come together for a live performance of any art and feel together, I think that like strengthens the bonds that are already there. Yeah, and it makes the community cool. Like the Pondy and Cedar Edge, when people like come out to on a Wednesday night to like enjoy some live music and be together, like that's a great, it's another, yet one more activity people can do together that's like a positive experience and like, yeah, supporting something good in the world. Pursuing music in my communities, that's how I've met all of my closest friends these days. You know, like people will say that post-college, you know, as people go into their 20s, they just like, it's harder to make friends outside of work, outside of drinking at the same bar every day. I have like such a vibrant social life, and it's so easy now to be like the amount of people I've met, like how I was describing how I book these shows, people being like, dude, I love your music. Like, let me know if you ever come to rural Indiana one day. And then I'll be like, I will come this summer. Do you want to host me in your backyard or your mom's backyard or your favorite bar or your pizza restaurant? And then I'll show up and like we hang out afterwards and I've made so many great connections. So just music as like a vessel to ride on and go through life with is really amazing and absolutely brings people together.
You mentioned your songs being sad. Can we talk about that a little bit? Was that an intentional choice? Let's talk about the way that you approach songwriting a little bit.
Yeah, I think, a lot of the music that I connect with is sad is very emotional in its nature. And I don't, whenever I like feel joyful in my life, I don't have the instinct of turning to music to like express that. Like if I'm feeling great, like I don't want to touch my guitar. I want to like go out in the world and like high five my friends and be a goof and like spread it around that way. But then when I am just like anybody super down, then music is a tool to like, I can distill my feelings into something more compact and beautiful. It's like turning sadness into beauty. And so even when things will happen in my life that are hard or like make me grieve. And during those times I have this like sick, it's not actually sick, but like this part of me that's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna make a good song of this one. Like, let it flow, feel it, baby. And it's true. It's just like, it turns into something good. So that the worst things in life can become fuel for me to make the things I love most about my life. It's awesome.
Yeah. I loved it. Well, I think it's a great point. Like, those things are going to happen regardless, probably. We all face challenges. We all face difficult times. And to be able to at least say, I'm going to take this and use this, as you say, as fuel, rather than letting it, you know, get me down, or rather than just like, yeah, wallowing, I'm actually going to take the wallow and I'm going to make something beautiful out of it. It's like from the muck comes some of the most beautiful stuff.
Yeah, like... There are just like inherent things about life that are just like that are just so incredibly rough that we all have to go through. And it doesn't mean that suffering is just like inherent to this experience. If everything goes well, your parents will die, you know? That's what's supposed to happen. Like, you are supposed to lose your parents. And on some level, like, so everyone you love is like gonna pass away until you do. And we're all like faced with that. But if we can like greet it laughing and crying at the same time, it's like, yeah, powerful.
Do you have that same, you mentioned at the beginning when you first started talking about this, that you, when you're happy or you're thriving, you don't feel the need to necessarily pick up your guitar and write a song. Do you have that same relationship in terms of the music that you listen to? Do you find that you gravitate towards music that is more melancholic?
Yeah, I think it just in general I do. I don't need, because I don't need help feeling with my happy feelings, you know? That's fine. Like, those are easy. Like, I don't need help eating ice cream, you know, if that makes sense. I need help eating Brussels sprouts. it feels so good to, like, cry and to, like, feel those deep, deep feelings. So, yeah, I definitely gravitate more towards music that's sad. And I think there's like a lot of artists out there that make only sad music or like melancholy or serious music. And I think I fall into that category.
Let's talk about your upcoming album. Let's talk about There You Are, your third album.
Yeah, it's third like album release. My first album that I put out, it's just self-titled, and it's like 16 or 17 songs that were recorded by like myself and like five other people at the helm throughout a span of like 10 years. So it's kind of just like a weird little compilation that I was like, oh, I should have music on Spotify when Spotify was starting to become really popular. And so I just kind of like threw that together. So this is kind of like the second album that's just like an intentional album. So I would call it album two.
How do you describe it? What do you want us to know about it?
I'd be lying if I said it was like a concept album, like Pink Floyd's The Wall or something. I think it's so cool when people can do that, like create a body of work that is like all pointed at the same thing. So this is, it, you know, like I write 10 songs and I'm like, cool, that's going to be an album. But that being said, it's all, these songs are all from the last 3 years or so of my life. And the album's called There You Are. And that the title comes from, I think it's like something that people, that is kind of part of like the AA, like handbook. Everywhere you go, there you are. Wherever you go, there you are. I was talking to a friend of mine in Colorado last summer when I was on tour, and she hosted me, and we were hanging out on her porch at night, and she was telling me about how she had been sober since I had last seen her in college. And I was just like, wow, what is that like? Like, you're just raw dog in life. That's crazy. And she was like, yeah, it's nuts. Like, I go to a show and I'm just there, and I go to like a bar and I'm there. I am, you know, like everywhere you go, there you are. And I just kind of, that stuck with me. And then I continued on my route for that tour, and I just kept thinking about it, and just like, I was, yeah, just like constantly moving around and meeting new people and having late nights, and just kept that concept kept coming back of just like, no matter what I do at the end of the day, or anyone does at the end of the day, it's you inside of your own head, that, and you're the only person that you really like, you always have to answer to yourself, and to like that inner voice. So I think the album is definitely carries that theme of like facing yourself, kind of just like the experience of being human, which is, it sounds incredibly vague, but like it is a vague experience. So yeah, I think it's all just like turmoil and loneliness and yeah, like addiction and like heartbreak, but also then like all the victories that come along with that, like feeling it and being, yeah, fully alive in it. One of my favorite songs to play is called I'm Your Worm. And the last line of that song is, I'm your worm covered in dirt and everything hurts, but I'm making it worth it. That like, if it's gonna be this bad, I'm gonna like make the best of it.
You put a crack in my favorite guitar. I don't care about that. I just wonder where you are, and if you think about me when you're alone in your car. Like I think about you while I'm driving in mine. I'm walking the path and I'm riding the route. There's a hole in my head and there's rain coming down, but there's birds in the sky, seeds in the ground, and you put a crack in my favorite guitar, but it's better than singing to myself in the yard or wishing I was where you are. I turned 25 and I learned how to howl all alone to myself and to throw in the towel. I wish that I had met you now. I turned 25, I've been doing just fine. I can look in the mirror without losing my mind. Without losing my mind. I'm walking the path and I'm riding the route with a hole in my head. With the rain coming down and there's eggs in the nest and the trees in the ground, and I wish you now.
That's Met You Now from Nat Lefkoff. Nat joining me today on Talkin' Music. Let's talk about your Colorado tour, or you're doing quite the tour, but you're coming through Colorado. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Definitely. It's going to be 15 states. I was just doing this math with someone yesterday. 15 states, 34 cities, and 44 shows. In about 62 days. Stoked to come back to Colorado. Western Colorado is beautiful. People don't like I think it's lesser known. Everyone focuses on the Front Range, but yeah, I'm excited for that drive from Salt Lake to Paonia. My friend Lindsay Wall, who goes by the moniker Dead Nettle, is going to be coming with me for about 2 weeks for all the Utah and Colorado shows. And then she's going to fly back from Denver, and I'll keep going for another 6 or 7 weeks.
Cool. It seems like the two of you have a really great collaboration. I've seen several videos of you wrestling. Can we talk about the wrestling a little bit?
Yeah, she was the 8th grade state champion of California, which I was like, okay, I figure you would be a little better at wrestling. But I actually just realized that, like, the way that we've been wrestling is, I guess there's rules to wrestling. Once we started wrestling by the books, she just, like, whoops me. But yeah, she's just like a sister to me. We met playing music. Again, just like, it brings people together. Yeah, we met playing music, and like, both were doing it full time, and both were just like interested in hitting the road and kind of doing like this DIY sort of method. And she just like, you know, we both have egos, we're people, but we like can let go of it. Yeah, she's just like really easy to collaborate with. She's just been feeling like a sister for the last few years. So I love hitting the road with her, and we make a really good team, like on stage and off stage.
Seems like the hardest part of touring is leaving your cat, Sweetie, behind. Can we talk about Sweetie for a second?
Yeah, she's just like the best little cat. Everyone thinks that their animal is the best animal or like the cutest animal, but she like really is. I got her a few years ago. My friend found her in an alleyway outside of his house and was just kind of posting about her, like, someone should take this cat. She's really nice. And I was like, okay, I'll go look at the cat. I'm in Sacramento anyways, but like, I'm not going to get an animal. I'm always on the road. Like, I have a hard time supporting myself as a musician. Why would I get another mouth to feed? And I walked out with that cat, and just, yeah, she's great. She sleeps at my head every night, like, loves getting her belly rubbed. She's like, I can call her and she'll come over to me. She's just like one of those cats. She's like a people motivated cat. It's not food. It's not like prey. It's, she like wants love and to be around. So I'll be walking her. She follows me around the house. You can just like hold her like a baby, and she just goes limp. It's great.
Well, I want to let our listeners know that you will be here on the Western Slope in a couple weeks. You'll be in Paonia at the Kiss Flower on Tuesday, September 24th. For our listeners who are not familiar, the Kiss Flower is Chef Joe's amazing little hidden gem down at the Paonia River Park. Can we talk about how you got connected to Joe a little bit, Nat?
Yeah, I met him through people in Cedar Edge, met him at a show, liked what we were doing, and wanted to support. Yeah, when I put out the call for places to play in Colorado, he reached out.
And then you're playing the following night at the Pondy in Cedar Edge. Sounds like you have a nice little community there, some folks that you know there.
Yeah, and the Pondy is so cool. That, like, second room that they have with the stage and everything. Like, really a class joint. I forget the owner's name, but he was, like, after I played it in February, he came up, gave me a hug, and was like, anytime you want to do this, just let me know any day of the week. Yeah, I'm really stoked for both of those shows. Folks should come out to the show. Let's meet and hang and play some music, make some friends.
That was Nat Lefkoff joining me today on Talkin' Music. Nat will perform at the Kiss Flower in Paonia on Tuesday, September 24th, and at the Pondy in Cedar Edge on Wednesday, September 25th. To find out more about Nat, you can visit his website, natlefkoff.com. For more Talkin' Music programming, visit kvnf.org or tune in on the KVNF mobile app. I'm your host, Taya J. Thanks, as always, for listening.
Talk to God, she's a friend of mine. She helps me go outside, brings me back to life. But I had to kill her in my head that night. I wanna sleep in your golden light. I wanna dance the round and not get tired. I wanna kiss the ground and set the world on fire. They walk around with the gratitude. Myself I drew. They're only lies, even if I try to make them true. All the colors in